Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
likes. In the last week, we've had over 200 and something
people like the page. And that goes into Chris and Jeremy from Project Paranormal Radio helping us out, promoting. And we possibly also have two sponsors lined up to sponsor the network. So lots of good things. Those guys have really like all of us and our family, and is doing everything they can to help promote all of the shows. So kudos to them. And, yeah, man, I got home about 6:30 and then scrambled to get everything ready for tonight. And I would have been home earlier, but one of the guys at work, he had to deliver something over to one of the companies that we make hydraulic hoses for. And we were leaving. It's 5 o'clock, and he called one of the guy's cell phones and said, hey, man, can you come over here? I'm upside down in my truck. We're like, what? So we all asked across town, and a UPS semi had tried to turn into this road, and he was sitting at the stoplight in his truck, my friend was, and the tractor trailer basically sliced his truck, all, you know, the engine and everything, and flipped the truck over and drug it about 50 yards down the road. Luckily, my coworker wasn't hurt. He had some scratches, but it's pretty crazy. So we were over there, and that's why I got home late.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of crazy stuff, you know, and you never know what life's going to throw at you, like we told
really?
Him. Yeah, because if you looked at the truck, if you drove by, it would look like somebody was really hurt bad. So, but on another note, yeah, me and one of my teammates, paranormal teammates, because I've kind of shut down my team and kind of taken a, I guess you could call it an extended sabbatical. And, well, my dog's acting, you know, dogs kind of act like children sometimes, you know? They want to be a pain in the ass. Yeah, and that's what my dog's doing right now. She don't normally do that, but she's wanting to stop. Stop. So, yeah, well, she was trying, and then she's trying to stick her toys in my face as I'm trying to do the radio. Normally, she's sleeping at this time. She knows I do the radio, but for some reason, she wants to be an ass tonight. Well, what I was saying was my taking a long sabbatical, and in the process, me and one of my teammates, we sat down and we've kind of laid out the constitution, per se, of when we do start the team back up and we get a couple new members, all the rules are going to be in place. And really good stuff. I felt good. We sat down for a good 3 hours just laying stuff down on paper. And, yeah, it's gonna benefit all of us in the long run, because we're not going to have all this drama and all this BS that we've had in the past. And it'll make things a lot easier.
Well, I haven't had any drama, so.
There's always something. I always have to laugh because there's always something. It's not necessarily your people, but it's all the assholes out there that you don't know that like to mess with you or somebody that you know. There's always something going on.
True, but, I think as far as the radio show, I'm trying not to, cause nobody no problem. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Go with the flow. I go with the flow with the radio,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's about us. It's about us talking to not only each other, but talking to guests and making new friends out there and, just learning. We've met a lot of people over the last year that have been on this show. So I know you've made some new friends. So that's what's good about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to. I had 4 days off. Went fishing 2 of those days. I went camping another one of those days. So I wasn't home much. So what's been going on in your world?
Well, you know, I did get my 3 movies. I got 3 movies out. They're on my website, JodieParks.com. And so I did get 3 movies up for sale, and I have 3 more coming. And I'm actually getting ready to create another company, and right now I'm working on the agreements and stuff like that with my dad so that, you know, I protect myself. And then I got to create the LLC, and then some things need to be built for it, and then I'll be ready to go with it. I'll be ready to go. So been kind of working on that, you know, taking care of kids and
being a mom.
That's what's going on in my world. That's what's going on in my world. You know what I mean? I did find a new location, and it's got an interesting story. I found a whole bunch of places somewhere. There's just so many, but there's one in particular that I might actually drive to Sunday night and go check it out during the day on Monday, and then do a little bit of hunting Monday night maybe. So maybe.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, we're going to be, since we're down to 3 of us that's left, of what's left of the team. Like I said, I shut it down, but there's still 3 of us. And in the process of not really doing much, staying out of the paradrama and staying out of the paranormal community for now, we're going to do something, a little project that I call Project Marker, which what we're going to do is we're going to travel around here locally, around the local towns here, and we're going to stop at, you know, if you ever driven down a road and you see a historical marker and, you know, it's just like a field, you know, there's no building there, there's no nothing, but it's marking something in history that's happened in that area. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to stop at all these markers on the side of the road and do a 10-minute EVP session on each one just to see, do a little bit more research on the whole spirits attached to land, right? Because a lot of paranormal teams, they have to have a building, right? They have to have a structure. They got to go into something. Well, we're going to go to all these markers where there's no structures, there's nothing. Well, we want to see if there's some kind of activity going on or maybe capturing EVP or residual that deals with the history. So just something to try, you know. You don't know if it's going to work unless you try it and see if you're successful at it.
That's right. Well, cool.
So that's what we're doing. And before our guest calls in, we'll go ahead and get this out of the way. Let's see here. I got to pull up his bio here. Let's see here. Minimize that. All right. For over 15 years and counting, Ramirez has experienced personal encounters in the paranormal. From Fairhaven Cemetery in Santa Ana, California, to private residence in Guadalajara, Mexico, Romero continues to bring pure respect and intentions when conducting a professional investigation. His expertise is in EVP, ITC audio analysis. He is one of the stars in the hit NBC Universal Paranormal Reality Show, From Beyond. It is set to return with a whole new, completely Spanish paranormal reality show in 2013. Romero has investigated hundreds of locations throughout the country and overseas. And he's continuing to do all and I lost the rest of it. But he's continuing to do a lot of things great for this field, and I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Sweet. I'm excited about talking to him, too.
Yeah, we'll have to play him your Ghostbox EVP, because he does a lot of the ITC SB7 Spirit Box communication. So
awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going to be, throughout the show, I'll be posting some of his YouTube links that I have that he sent me that everybody can go check out and see some of the evidence that he has captured. Some pretty cool stuff and some pretty aggressive things as well. He's been through a lot in dealing with, you know, the paranormal, and he's also a psychic medium as well. He's got abilities. So,
nice.
You know, I've always noticed, Jody, and that might be wrong. One reason, you know, I've always said that you've got some kind of psychic gift. I mean, your son does. And I've always noticed it when my team was going, but when I had somebody with gifts in the room while we were running a ghost box, it just seemed to not want to shut up. It just talked its head off in responses to our questions. And I've always noticed that. It seems like people with gifts kind of enhance it, you know, kind of help it open up a little bit more, and spirits like to communicate. So,
right.
Well, maybe I need to do an experiment testing that theory. Put a psychic with an ITC spirit box, and then do one where, you know, somebody that they may have abilities, they may not, but, you know, for the most part, I'll have to figure out a way to test them that they don't have abilities, and then put them in there and try to see if there's a difference.
Yeah, no, or it's like the freaking ghost box, because, you know, I swear mine was, like, useless for a good year before it, like, opened up and just won't shut the hell up now, you know?
Right.
You know, I never play with it anymore, hardly. Like, it freaked me out a little bit too much that I'm like, you need to go on timeout, you know what I mean? But, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you this, Jody, because you are in St. Louis. And I know you don't watch too much of the paranormal shows on television or whatnot, but. Yeah. Well, somebody that you do know in the paranormal field, Zach and his team, they just aired their 100th episode last Friday, and they were at the Exorcist House in St. Louis.
Yes.
Have you ever gone by that place?
I know exactly where it's at, and you know, okay, so here's the story with that thing. I don't know, like, what kind of story Zach told about it or what kind of stories are. But, okay, so the boy lived somewhere else, I forget, and he was playing with the Ouija board with his aunt or something like that, and then he started having problems. And, you know, I think, like, you know how, like, he had that writing on his skin coming through?
Uh-huh.
Something of St. Louis came up, St. Louis. So the family had family in St. Louis, so they decided to go to St. Louis because that was the message that they got. Like, I think it came through written on the kid's chest or something.
It from what the show portrayed, The word Lewis was written across his chest.
Okay, yeah, something like that. So they took the boy, because they have family in St. Louis, so they took the boy to this house. And But the actual exorcism and all of that, you know, everybody tells the story wrong. Okay, so he went there. Then from there, he went to Alexian Brother Hospital, which is actually closer to my house, and I have been there. They actually ripped the part of the building that they were, you know, doing the exorcism at, and they ripped it down and they put in a parking lot, and the parking lot seems to crack in the same place. Like, they just keep having the problem where it just keeps cracking in the same place. And but from there, they actually didn't do the like the grand finale of the exorcism at any. Oh well, wait. Then he also went to. They put him in three different places. They also had him in a nursing home, not a nursing home, but it was a Catholic. It was a, you know, like a place for Catholics and housing, and they had him up on the fifth floor, and that's where the Booth brothers found a diary. The Booth brothers found a diary in there. Well, right now, that place is completely closed off. They will not let people in there. I've already tried to get in there, and they've got, it's like being used as, God, I want to say like a home for poor people, like a Section 8, but they have cameras up everywhere. But they have that whole floor where the kid was, they have it locked off. And nobody, like, when they sold it to whoever owns it now, they did a contract with them that they are not allowed to open up that fifth floor, and it is always to be locked down. Like, they have to keep it locked up. And but the actual exorcism took place at, I believe it's SLU High School, like one of the buildings there, right next to the church that the priest performed the exorcism. And I actually have a really good friend of mine that his uncle was young, and he was kind of like a new priest, and he was in attendance as an observer, a helper to the man who, you know, was really performing it. And every time I see my friend, he's like, he gets so upset with me that I'm a ghost hunter because of the stories that his uncle told him about how awful that experience was. And, you know, pretty much that the devil is real. And, you know, what we're messing with is not a joke. So he gets upset with me to know that I do this stuff, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how Zach told the story, but there are that man's location, that I guess the house that they were at. And then I think, you know, from there they were working with the Normandy church that they filmed. But it all got taken over. It all got taken over by another church. And, yeah, they ended up moving him to three different locations, and then the final one was right on SLU campus. And that part of the story really isn't being told, I don't think.
Mm. Well, they basically talked a lot.
Where does Zach say that they were doing the exorcism?
In the second floor of that house, in the guy's bedroom.
Bullshit. I hate to just call him out on that, but if you're going to do a story, you should do it right. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I mean, and I actually, like, I'll talk to my friend and maybe see if he'll come on and talk about it.
Okay, hang on. Hang on 1 second. I got two callers on hold here. Hang on.
My phone's got stuff coming through.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's up? Hello? What the hell is going on? Hello. yeah, that's really disappointing that Zach said the exorcism was being done in that house on the second floor in that room. That is not good. Well, I don't even know if we're on. I don't even know. Oh, Kevin is, I guess, talking, finding out who is on hold, if it's our guest or not. So you know what? I'm just going to play a little song. It's, oh, we've got more callers. So he's got more jobs to do. Okay. Well, I'm picking out a song. We'll just go with this.
studio board kind of locked up on me, Jody. I was hung up in chat screen call by myself. But our guest is all in hold, so I am going to get him on air.
Okay.
Hello, you're on Terrify Radio.
How are you guys?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks for asking. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
No, thanks. See you guys.
Yeah. I've always wanted to chat with you. I remember when my friend Martin had his own show and he had you on as a guest, and I listened to that show, and I was like, man, I want to talk to that guy sometime.
Awesome.
So give us a little bit, I read your bio earlier in the show. Give everybody, our listeners, a little bit of background on you and kind of how you got into the whole paranormal.
Well, I'm never sensitive. I would always see things, sense things as a kid. And, you know, my parents were always, you know, in doubt, thinking, you know, this kid has mental issues. You know, I was constantly thinking to psychiatrists, psychologists, and nothing was a problem. It wasn't until I reached my teenage years and my grandfather passed away. He came to my room and he actually visited me. I felt his hand, his touch, and actually heard his voice. That's when I started going out to try to document, to validate my own experience.
That's when you started doing what?
That's when I started going to a local cemetery here in Orange County, California. And started to conduct EVP sessions and try to capture evidence just to validate my own experience, you know?
Yeah. Do you still have, like, any of those EVPs?
Yeah, of course. I have so many EVPs.
Like when you're a kid, like capturing that stuff, that's kind of impressive. You know what I mean? That you started that young and actively did it yourself. That to me, like, says something about you. You know what I mean?
Right.
That, like,
exactly.
You're not full of shit. You know what I mean? Kids aren't full of shit. So if a kid is going to be out capturing evidence at a very young age, to me, you know, they're on their path.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, back in the days we had, you know, the little analog, you know, recorders, and what we had little tapes. It wasn't like a digital recorders nowadays. And I would actually hear responses, and, you know, I was playing back to my brothers, my family members, and some of them were, you know, class A's, and where they would hear them. And a lot of them were just, you know, B's or C's, and where you need to, you know, enhance the audio to actually listen to the response. And that's when I knew I had an ear for it. I knew I had an ability, and I started, you know, visiting local ghost hunts, you know, by local teams here in California, and that's how I began.
Nice. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I have noticed in my experiences being in the paranormal that when you use digital recorders, EVP, you know, you're trying to capture EVPs, or you're using a spirit box. I had a psychic medium on my team that had abilities, and I had several others that had abilities they didn't know, and they started developing it. But it seemed like when someone with abilities, or where I would say everybody has abilities, people that are more open, it seemed like the ghost box, you would get more evidence. You would get more responses, it seemed like.
Exactly. Yeah, with the ghost box, ITC, I actually, you know, I went on a local meetup. It was a public ghost hunt that a local team here had, and I showed up. It was actually at the Queen Mary in Long Beach, and I was like a magnet, you know, so active around me. I ended up leaving, and they took my information down, and then we were in contact, and they asked if they could train me. And I was lucky enough to actually sit down with them and, you know, have them as my mentors.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, you know, Jody and myself, we use a ghost box. I have an SB7 spirit box that I use. And
awesome.
Jody uses the old Hack Shack, and she's got some impressive things from that device as well. I mean, Jody keeps telling everybody it won't shut up when she fires it up now. For what, a year, Jody? You said it didn't give you any responses.
Yeah, I had it for like a year. I didn't believe in them. And I did this event in Georgia, and I was like, I'll just take it, you know, just to fart around with it with the people there. And pretty much I ended up having an entire room full of people screaming.
Wow.
And, like, ever since that happened, it won't shut up. It is crazy. Like, it tells me personal things, talks about people in my life, and just, you know, freaky.
Yeah, and I believe you. You know, it's actually, you know, that's what I actually focus on, and most of my research is based around ITC, instrumental transcommunication, with the use of a spirit box or whatnot. You know, and I've actually, you know, collected some impressive evidence, and you know, there's a lot of people out there that are in doubt. They don't believe in it. They think it's a coincidence. And it's not until I start asking, you know, certain questions and get a relevant answer is when they turn into believers.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, and I respect everybody's opinion and their take and some of the scientific stuff they come up with as far as how these devices are not as accurate as what we perceive it to be, basically, you know. And but there is just so much in my experiences with the box that I don't understand it. And I've even told some of them and some of the stuff that we have captured and how we did it, the process. And really, they were dumbfounded by it, you know, because there's just no way that that could be coming from a radio station.
Exactly.
You know, and Jody's gets real vulgar with her, and I've had mine. It, you know, it'll say, you know, all kinds of stuff, and you know that stuff's not being broadcast on air, and we've even done something where I had Martin, who lives in Dallas, I told my team not to get on Facebook
perfect.
That day.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Is this a location experiment?
Yeah.
Over Skype? Perfect.
Yeah.
That,
well,
you know,
got all
the information. Right. He actually brought that up to me. And, I mean, that's an idea that I actually had in mind. And I've attempted it. I had a friend in Chicago. He was at a location. He knew nothing of my whereabouts. And his device in Chicago was telling exactly where I was. And it was on Thanksgiving, you know, where I took a little bit, some time just to sit down and Skype him. And it was impressive.
Yeah. And I just, those kind of things like that, I mean, how do you explain that, you know?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I even, Jody, and we'll, since you do a lot of ITC, we're going to play Jody's initial evidence. A lot of people played this on air. A lot of people can't explain it. Some try to explain it saying that when it stopped scanning that it picked up somebody like a radio or whatnot, but I don't believe any of that. It's just, I don't know. Let me see here. Find it. There it is. Here we go.
Hello? Do the other men here bother you?
We will skin you alive.
Oh!
What's your take on that?
Oh, wow. You know, that was a response, you know, and it sounds, you know, the scanning stops, you hear spirit actually speaking. You know, just how we are in the physical, we are in the spiritual, you know, and, you know, if you tend to be one of those jokesters, that's how you're going to be in the spiritual as well, you know what I mean? So I encounter responses of that nature as well, and where they do freak people out, you know, especially taking people on public ghost hunts. I don't always just sit there and believe what I'm hearing right there and then. Because I do believe also in the fact that there's some, you know, entities out there that tend to play with our minds, you know, act as if they're the person we're trying to contact and
right.
come through and communicate.
You know, ever since I went to Linda Vista, which I know is one of your favorite places as well, and we'll have to, like, really get into that. Linda Vista was the first time that I ever got a response to, what is your name? And I was down in the bottom floor.
Right.
And in the area where, like, the T-zone is for all of the surgical rooms.
Okay.
I was in that area. I was sitting on the ground doing, like, an EVP session. You know, there was definitely something there. A lot of noises going on. And I said, what is your name? And it said, Michael. Clear as day. I actually even got it on, like, the video. That's where I heard it. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, it was just so clear. It sounded like it came up to my camera and just said, Michael. And I've talked to many other people that said they have gotten as well Michael at Linda Vista. But now my ghost box always screams out Michael. So I actually had the Michael that I captured at Linda Vista. I sent them off to an EVP specialist and had four different locations or three different locations of my ghost box yelling out Michael. And they swear that it's the same voice that's coming through. It's the same voice at all locations, all four locations that I have. And it's,
awesome.
You know, it didn't start until I went to Linda Vista. And talking about, like, how, you know, it will manipulate you, I think, like, my ghost box is, like, messing with me with the name Michael. You know what I mean? Like, it's always calling out Michael. And, you know, that comes from Linda Vista, but I don't know why, like, you know, Michael keeps coming through. I don't think it's really Michael. I've actually had my ghost box. I was at, have you ever heard of Farrar Haunted School in Iowa?
No, I have not.
You would love it if you love Linda Vista. This place is just a really interesting place. It's got a great story. The janitor was abusing children. So there's a lot of claims of the ghost box being, it really talks nasty to women there and calls them whores and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Plus, and so I was up in the principal's office and I asked, you know, do you want a blowjob? And no shit, like 10 minutes later, I got in, my ghost box said, the sports, the blowjob. And then it kept, like, calling me a cunt and talking about eating. And so I was, like, you know, messing with it. And I said, throw me on the fucking table and eat my fucking pussy. And it goes, my ghost box goes, it would be beyond anything I could imagine. And it was, like, so robotic, just like that. It's crazy. I was just like, oh, shit, man. I mean, I pulled the sexual side out of this thing at this place. It's amazing how at different locations it acts different, too. Do you notice that
exactly.
with, like, your ghost box?
Yeah. And being at a location like Linda Vista, impressive evidence I've captured there. Why? I mean, it's been, it's a historical location. It's been open such a long time. You know, we've asked responses like questions such as, what's the name of the last president you remember being in office? And I've gotten responses, Eisenhower, Roosevelt. And looking back in history, the hospital's actually opened while these two presidents were in office.
Wow.
A lot of them, do tend to come out a little nastier. They do cuss you out.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when we're at a location with someone that's never, investigated before, they're a little skeptical at first. And I try to ask certain questions. I ask an individual, can you raise your hand up? And then that's when I say, the person that's raising his hand, what's his name? And for us to get a response of that person being called out, that's why I keep doing what I do, why I keep researching it and focusing on ITC.
I've done a lot too, Ramiro, at like public investigations, when there's a lot of people and we got our ghost box going, and it really gets them intrigued when I can just, because I don't know these people, there's like 25, 30 with my team, and I'll just randomly point at somebody and ask that ghost box to tell me their name, and it'll say it, and you just ought to see the reaction on their face, and it's like that's crazy how that works,
Right.
I'd love to, further investigate, obviously I'm clueless as to, what's going on with the ghost box, really. I turn it on, I talk to it, It talks back to me. There's no way I would even, know how to manipulate this thing in any way, but, mine's so freaking nuts that I would love, I've been, wanting to find somebody that could, test this thing because it is so bizarre. It'd be cool to find a whole bunch of people in the paranormal field who have gotten great responses from their ghost box and bring those ghost boxes together and, do some type of experiment on them, where you're actually taking away the radio frequency, So it's scanning, but it's not picking up any frequencies, Will it come through on some and not others? If you were to switch them up, are people going to get, is it going to be screaming for them? Because if I leave my ghost box, it starts screaming out my name. And people in the room will be like, what? You need your Jody, and it will just yell my name again. And, and we'll kind of be an asshole until I come back. tell people you better watch it. It told somebody you better watch it because they were like, what, you want Jody? Because it was like, Jody, and they were like, what, you want Jody? What, you need a babysitter? I'm going to go get that bitch, this girl said. And it goes, watch it.
Wow.
So I think they kind of get personally attached to people.
Oh, yeah, and it does. It does.
Yeah.
Having a device, just how, when I was trained, they told me, Romero, once you you start doing ATC, you have a green light above you. There's no going back, blood in, blood out.
Yeah.
And it was something that I noticed, there's been times in where they try to communicate using, any instrument, whether it's a TV, whether it's a phone, a computer, whatever. And that's when I started to notice, hey, this is actually happening all around me. I actually purchased, it was a StratCat. That's one that I used, during my investigations. Now I actually opened it up myself and modified it. Why? Because I feel that if you were to modify your own, you have a better connection with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to just
I modified mine too. I opened it up and you just push that little thing down, bend it down, and put it back together.
Yeah. I did that. I went to a local radio shack and purchased it and, tried a couple times and it wouldn't
stand. They don't make them anymore? You know they don't make them anymore, right?
You know what? I actually found a couple of them. You can still actually find them on eBay or on Craigslist. I know there's a lot of Radio Shacks out in the middle of the boonies and middle of nowhere that still have that, you know, old, you know, overstock that never sold. And
really?
You know, still, you can still pick them up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I got an SB7 that on the AM band, it's got a filter on it, kind of filters out the radio noise. So basically, you just hear it. You hear it clicking as it's scanning, and anything that comes out of it is a spirit response. The only thing I don't like about it is it's not as loud as the FM band, so you have to kind of be up on the ITC speaker to hear anything, right? But yeah, I cracked mine open. I voided out the warranty when I cracked it open, and I had to I disconnected the antenna to kind of help out with not picking up as much radio noise. And of course, then I broke something, and I had to send it to my buddy Jeremy Jones, and he fixed it in about 5 minutes. It took me probably an hour to try to figure it out, and I couldn't do it. And I said it to him, he's like, "Dude, I fixed it in 5 minutes." I was like, "Well, that's why you do build equipment and I don't."
Was that Jeremy from Paranologies?
Yes, my buddy Jeremy.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks back, we shot a segment here for ABC with, a psychic medium, AJ Barrera. You know, I had the honor to work on him on a TV project called From Beyond. And, you know, they were doing a story here in L.A. You know, they wanted to do a feature, Latinos and Paranormal. And he opens up his briefcase and pulls out all sorts of neat equipment I've never seen. And it was Paranologies, good stuff. You know, even with the reporter being there, you know, asking questions, devices being lit up, good stuff that they make.
Yeah, I got a few of his devices, and he's got some great stuff that he does. I love, because the fact that he's a paranormal investigator and been in the field as long as he has, he builds equipment that he knows that all of us need in the field to use. You know, it's not some gimmick or whatnot. He tries to get as much scientific data out of it for us, so that's why I love it so much. And and one thing I've tried with my ITC, I don't know if you've tried doing this as well. I got a lot of friends that are more on the scientific side of the paranormal. So, you know, they're real skeptical when it comes to the box. And so I was like, okay. Because they talk about how us as human beings can influence possibly what's coming through the box. You know, if you have a thought, you ask a question, and you know the answer, how do we not know that we're projecting that answer through that box? And so I've been trying to do some experiments I've done in the past where I take the human element out as far as that. And we did it one time, and I cannot believe the results we had. I need to get that video up on YouTube so people can check it out. We were doing a ghost box session, and it's one of those things as an investigator, you know, all of us do it, you know, on the fly, you come up with something you want to try just at the spur of the moment. And a fellow investigator of mine decided to reach into his pocket, and without looking at it, he grabbed a coin, and he said, before he pulled it out of his pocket, he said, "All right, I'm going to toss this coin up, call heads or tails." So he pulled it out of the pocket, flipped it up in the air. We hit it, heard it hit the ground. Before it hit the ground, we heard heads. Then we found the coin. We turned the flashlight on, and I'll be damned if it wasn't heads. And then we turned the flashlight off, and we asked the box to tell us the date, the year that's on the coin, and it said 1985. And then we turned the flashlight on, and it was 1985. Well, we took the human element out because neither one of us knew what it was going to land on. Yeah, you got a 50-50 shot, But neither one of us knew the date on the coin either, so therefore our brains don't know anything. We can't influence the box, and the box told us what it was.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's kind of the stuff I try to do when I can to kind of throw to my friends on that end that are skeptical of the box, because I want them to explain to me how that works.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I've tried several different experiments and gotten responses. You know, sometimes I don't, sometimes I do, you know, where, you know, I'll even ask them, can you please laugh like this, ha, 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 ha. And I have other investigators look at me, roll their eyes at me, and then when they actually hear the response, ah, ha, 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 they just in shock, they get surprised, you know. I've had, you know, individuals that say it's a coincidence, it's picking up something from a radio, and, you know, FCC, they don't allow any curse words to be played on the radio. You know, and that's when I will sit there and ask, you know, Spirit, you know, please excuse me, but can you please say the word, fuck you? And
yeah,
they will hear it loud and clear through the radio. Fuck you. Thank you. And move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, one other thing I want to, because I always like to compare notes with other investigators that use these devices. Have you ever had your voice or somebody you know's voice come that's alive that comes through that box?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I have.
I have had that. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, it's happened to me, you know, I had a phone in where it just started to pick up static. You know, we were at the park playing soccer, and I kept getting sharp pain on the side of my stomach. It wasn't until I got into the vehicle, my phone, all you hear was white noise and static, and then you can hear somebody crying. And it's funny because it kept doing this all the way home. And my brother was really scared. He was driving, and he was just in doubt. He was like, Romero, you know, you're fucking with some dark shit. It's following you. Until I got home, it started to cry like my younger brother. And I thought to myself, okay, he knows I investigate, you know, and I'm thinking the worst. He probably got in a car accident. He passed away, and he's coming in through this device to let me know something bad happened. So I'm over here, you know, I turn on my digital recorder just to record, you know, his, you know, him crying over my phone, and I'm calling him, texting him, trying to making sure everything's okay. And it's funny because I played for my brothers, you know, even my parents, and even when he got home, I played it for him, and he was like, oh, shit, that sounds like me.
Wow.
Yeah, when we did another experiment where we were doing an actual live radio broadcast, and I had Martin, he had fired his ghost box up, and I turned mine on at the exact same time in the location I was at in Arkansas. And so I gave my phone to the other team so that I wasn't talking to him through the radio show. I just wanted to see if we could go back and forth through the ITC. And I'll be damned, and I told him this and played him the evidence. You hear his voice clearly come through the box and says, hey, guys, what's up? And I played it for him. He's like, holy shit, that's my voice. And I was like, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, if the – And you get it on EVPs, too. I've captured myself saying something, and my speech is, like, slurred. It sounds like I'm drunk. And I didn't even say anything at that point when it was recorded. Someone had taken my voice and kind of manipulated it and made me say something, and it was real strung out. All the words were real elongated. And I was like, what the hell is this? It's like somebody mimicked me.
Right, doppelgangers. You know, so that's what they refer them as, and it's creepy. You know, I've actually, you know, had, you know, my family members, you know, actually where I was even in the state, and they would say, I swear to God, I can hear you coughing and moving around your room.
Yeah. That's some crazy stuff. Now, talk about Linda Vista. I know we wanted to talk a little bit about that location because I've seen some of the YouTube stuff that you sent me. Some really interesting things.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what's your experiences there?
Oh, man, I had so many, to be honest with you. Just a lot. You know, I started taking, you know, the public, you know, small groups, and, you know, this was last October, you know, it was 2 weeks back to back, you know, on a Friday, and where I was scratched, you know, and I send you, you know, the SoundCloud link, and it's funny because I'm over here just, you know, looking at my friends and, hey, do you guys see the goosebumps? Can you guys take a picture of this? And then scratches began to appear. And then it wasn't home. Another buddy had his recorder on, and he picked up a pretty impressive EVP. And I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it, but we're all chatting in the background, and you hear a voice in the background say, don't fuck with me.
Yeah, I heard it. It's crazy, Jody. It's clear as a bell.
Wow. So what's your favorite location?
Linda Vista Hospital.
Linda Vista?
Linda Vista Hospital. I've gotten so many responses there, you know, personal experience there, you know, and me being, you know, bilingual Spanish, I've actually asked questions in Spanish, and where, you know, and it's funny because it is in a Latino-based community, and I get great responses there.
Yeah. That place is on fire. That place.
Oh, yeah.
I had more things touching me, tapping on my back, pulling my hair. Also, just clear as day, I heard things. Like, there was like a moan, a woman. It was like, you know, the three people, we just like looked at each other like, did you guys hear that? Like, yes. Yeah. Just clear as day. A woman. It was in that room that Nick saw that woman.
In the surgical suite.
Atlanta,
awesome.
What room was it?
The surgical suite.
Very
active location, you know, being in there all the time. You know, it just doesn't fail. You turn on our devices and great stuff happens there.
Yeah, I would say Linda Vista is my number two favorite. And I found out that I have completely been blackballed from my favorite one. I'm never allowed to go in there because of how badly I behave. And I was bad at Linda Vista, and they didn't give a shit. I was actually really bad there. Yeah. But, you know, I'm sorry, you know. I like to get bad. I like to get bad. And I, you know, I look at it like this. You know, at certain locations, when you're dealing with spirits that were just pieces of shit when they were alive, why should I show them respect? Why can't I push their buttons? Why can't I? I mean, they didn't give a shit when they were alive, you know? They went around murdering people or raping women, or they were just scumbuckets, you know? There were a lot of people at Linda Vista that, you know, there was a bad doctor there, right?
Right.
I mean, he was throwing the bodies in the closet, just piling them up, right?
Right.
So he's a piece of shit. Like, why would I be nice to him? He's probably the fucker that's walking around that place being an asshole, you know, and hurting people. And I don't know, you know, Linda Vista is actually the first place that I ever felt like when I was in that T-zone, that surgical area, that was the one place that I actually felt like I walked into pure evil. And I actually had to back up, and I asked somebody if they would come with me. And as soon as that person got up and came walking towards me and walked into that space, something happened to her. And next thing you know, she's broken down. She's crying because, you know, something happened to her, and then this other girl got her belly button ring pulled really hard, and It was a weird experience there, but, you know, I definitely got the feeling of something so nasty there, whether it was a human that was just, you know, really, really bad energy, or there is something that could possibly be on the demonic side there.
Oh, yeah. I know there's something pretty dark there, you know, and they actually see it down by the radiology room. They actually see something hanging kind of like a vampire, you know, from its feet, from this TV. And it's a trip. It's a dark mass that I've seen it, you know, crawl up the walls and kind of like a spider, if I could say. You know, it just runs down the hallway and climbs up on the walls, on the ceiling.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah,
what,
I mean,
floor
the place
is, what floor is that
on? What floor is that on? The first floor.
Okay, because I heard that the, you know, when I was there, I only made it on the bottom floor of the main building and just like to the bathroom and the office on the second floor. And then in the other building, I did the top floor. But, you know, that bottom floor was so active, it was just like, shit, why should I leave? I was getting so much. But I didn't even make it to the third and fourth floor, and I heard the third and fourth floor have been closed down because of some shadow person that will chase. Maybe this is the story where it will chase after somebody down the hall, like a black shadow.
It's funny because, you know, I would say the entire building is active, the entire hospital, you know. We actually shot an episode, you know, of From Beyond there with AJ. It's funny because we were in the mental ward, room 323, and, you know, he, you know, it was towards the end of the night. He starts to you know, use provocation, and he scratched me or Romero. And you see it on the episode when he mentions my name. I know the dangers of it. So I was pissed. I kind of just rolled my eyes and walked out. It wasn't, but we were getting ready to wrap, and where I noticed him, you know, kind of like duck down a little bit, and he's on Romero, my neck, and I see scratches appear on his neck. And I'm like, there you go. That's what happens when you provoke.
Yeah. See, I'm kind of the opposite way. I can provoke and provoke and provoke, and everybody around me gets hurt. And I literally never come home with a scratch, bruise, or nothing, but I dream. I dream about these places before I ever walk in them, or just things about them before I come to them, and I'll walk into the room and be like, oh, my God, you know?
I've
like,
been there as well.
I dreamed about this room.
Wow. Yeah, that's happened to me as well, you know, and, you know, I've actually, you know, been through the dangers, you know, and actually experienced some pretty scary shit, you know, personally as an investigator that I thought I was alone by myself because not everyone believes you, you know what I mean? I had a nasty attachment that was non-human, you know, that was here with me, and, you know, and it would beat me up in my dreams, you know, wake up feeling my body would be sore, spiritually, mentally, I was out of it. I was sad, depressed, just, like in a black hole, I could say, until, you know, they, you know, friends of mine, you know, started noticing a difference, and I actually had, you know, three individuals come, a demonologist come to my home, and they were flipping out when they heard the responses as they were conducting their cleansing. You know, ever since they left, you know, my house and my room and everything else around me has been, you know, it went back to normal. And I still keep that memory in the back of my head when I investigate that there's some dark shit out there, you know, and there's some stuff out there that, unfortunately, you know, I say this because I would pray a lot. I would go to a lot of, you know, Bible studies, and there's some shit out there that not even my God could help me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sounded like you were under oppression. You were in the process of demonic oppression, what was you described?
It was, it was a nasty attachment, you know, when they were here. You know, they heard growls. You know, they heard something, you know, jump up into my attic. And, you know, we heard footsteps, kind of like hooves, if I could say.
Mm-hmm.
Just the house was active. And, you know, and I thank them to this day. You know, I will never forget what they did for me. And, you know, luckily, I had the opportunity to have them come out and help me out. And I just didn't want it to start affecting the rest of my family members. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's one thing that I always have told people that are wanting to get into the paranormal or wanting to join my team or another team or whatever. You know, it's not all fun and games like you see on television and how they perceive it. There's a lot of serious shit going on, and it's dangerous. It can affect you. It can hurt you. It can do a lot of things, you know, if you're not careful.
Of course.
So, but yeah, so do you do, I know you work on, you did a TV show and you're working on another one, correct?
Right. You know, going back to what I say, you know, being Latino, being bilingual, Spanish, English, you know, I could actually break into that, you know, that barrier, I mean, and try to communicate with different, you know, different entities. I believe in the theory, you know, where paranormal has no translation, meaning, you know, I could ask a question in Spanish, and I will get the answer of that question in English, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because, my parents are from Mexico, and in Mexico, we hear so many claims, a lot of locations that are haunted. And here in the U.S., there's a gazillion paranormal TV shows. You know, TV shows, they go to the same locations, and it looks like they're running out of locations to go. Latin America is untouched. You know, there's a show that's been going on for over 10 years, and I think it's a joke. I mean, do I respect it? Yeah, of course. It's been on for over 10 years. And every episode, they go to 4 or 5 different locations, you know, in one episode. And they don't have the terminology, they don't have the equipment, you know, the knowledge, the awareness, nothing, you know. And I know there's teams out there that claim to be investigators, but there's no evidence out there.
It's hilarious to me, like, people that, you know, claim to be paranormal investigators, and they show up, and they don't have shit. And I say to them, how can you claim to be a ghost hunter if you do not own any piece of evidence? You don't know how to get that to your computer, put a video out, put something together, backing up that, you know, captured it, and how to, you know, clean up your EVPs and all that. Like, that is part of the process, in my opinion, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, people go and they normally go hunt. They go home, they throw their recorder into a drawer, and they shut it, and they go back to their normal lives, you know? You know, and it's why are you out there wasting your time if you're not out there collecting data in the research you do? You know what I mean?
You know what I do? I put all the bullshit out on YouTube. So when I'm going through my footage, people get to see the stupid shit. So, like, if somebody farts, I put it out. You know, I make fun of it. And so people think I'm just nobody, I got nothing, okay? But, like, I just finally am releasing my stuff that I've been working on for years. I just released 3 movies, and, you know, I have 3 more coming out. And it's like, I don't see this shit from other people, you know, like, that they're actually, it's more about, hey, let's go to the next event and have a popularity contest. That's what shit has become about to people in this field. There's a lot of people out there claiming to be this and that, but they're not shit, in my opinion.
It happens, you know, and it's like that in any field, you know. You know, and unfortunately, it's sad how you say that, you know, living here in Southern California. There's a lot of bullshit and a lot of drama within teams and, oh, let's not go here, let's boycott that place because I don't like this. And it's funny because, I mean, it reminds me of the movie Mean Girls, because some people are just like, they can't get out of high school. And I'm like, shit, dude, I've been out of high school for 10 years, and I'm still dealing with this bullshit. You know, so you know, that, that I, I kind of, you know, took a step back and just started, you know, investigating, you know, privately on my own, trying to stay away from that whole, you know, I'm popular, you know, or I'm the ringleader here, you know, and just taking sides or whatnot. And especially because, you know, with the TV show that we had, you know, you're a public figure. You can't be taking sides. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like to drag you in to everybody else's problem, and you're always guilty by association, you know.
Right.
Exactly. I'm friends with in L.A., and then all of a sudden, all their enemies, as soon as I'm friends with them, they're doing stuff to me. There's somebody out in L.A. that, like, has done some real mean shit to me, and I've never even met him. I don't even know this dude. I've never done anything to him. But he's made up videos about me, and it's just like there's a group of people that are just bad seeds out in L.A.
And as soon as you mention videos, that's so funny because this person has nothing else to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, you're not even investigating. You're playing with a little fucking puppet, and you're walking around in a night shot, Mr. Wayne fucking Poe. That's who it is. I don't give a shit about that fucker. That's what he is. He's a punk ass. And if I ever fucking saw him, I would freaking kick him upside the head. Like, my foot would go flying up in the air, and I'd fuck that motherfucker up. I'm saying it out loud, publicly. Fuck yeah, I would. Come and get it.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, and I've actually, you know, been under attack or been under, you know, that, you know, those verbal attacks, you know, where people, oh, Mr. Hollywood, you know, and the way that I say it, it's like, I never wanted to be famous, you know. I was actually referred to this show, and, you know, they met me, and I was the person they were looking for. You know, luckily because of that, we're shooting, you know, I'm working on an all-Spanish reality show. Like I said, I mean, there's none. There's no, like, real paranormal investigating show out there in Spanish, and it's a big market, you know, big market. The way that I see it, you know, I'm actually, you know, I started, you know, to film a documentary that I've always wanted to film, and I've been going back and forth to Baja California, investigating, and, you know, I'm planning on starting from TJ all the way down to Brazil. You know, there's so many countries untouched, you know, and either I'm going to do it or someone else is going to meet me to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. More power to you.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's why I say, I mean, to all the drama, I'm like, you know, talk shit on how I look, how I dress, what the music I listen to, but don't talk shit and say that you have no respect for me or my research when I have, you know, evidence to show for, you know what I mean? You know, and again, I mean, it's not taking sides or whatnot. There's people like that in life, you know. And, you know, one of the beliefs that I have is, you know, I have neighbors. You know, I go outside, smoke a cigarette, wave at them. They say hi. So a community consists of neighbors, you know. So you have to live and get along with your neighbors, you know. And there's not many teams out there. If there was paranormal teams, if every person out there belonged to a paranormal team, I think the whole drama would not exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to make is there's not many teams out there, so the community is, you know, it's small, and they can't get along.
I have a friend that has a theory about the paranormal field, and it is that, you know, basically all the people in the paranormal field, they were nerds. They were nerds in high school. They were picked on. They were bullied. And they found, like, a little society, a little club that they could be a part of. And they don't know how to get along because now they're the bully. It's an interesting theory. Because if you start breaking down the people, you kind of see a pattern.
And I agree with you. You know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, in my high school, I wasn't a nerd or a loner or, you know, or a bully. You know, I was, you know, all around just, I knew everyone from my high school. Even to this day, they all remember me as the weird Romero, the unique guy. You know, and I like those bullies.
That's crazy, too. I was the loner rebel.
You know, and I never clicked with anybody. I actually had,
right?
You know, in high school, I actually, you know, like, I hung out just with my cousin and my girlfriend at the time, and, you know, we would finish our lunch and go around and hang out with everybody, you know.
Yeah, I hung out with, like, four people.
And it's funny, you know, that's...
like, no fucking tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
You know, and I mean, and to comment on what you said, how people, you know, how they go back and they're the bullies now, well... I'm the person that I never, you know, I never let any bully, you know, shut me up or control my life. You know, I can say, you know, the street smarts in me is not going to allow that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, going back to the paranormal. So, yeah, you know, we're working on a new show. Should be awesome.
That's great. So, are you guys filming? Are you guys filming? Are you in development?
You know, it's past development right now. We're we've actually found the cast. Finally, it was a lengthy process, and it's funny because there's not many, because TV networks they think, okay, well, bring me an investigator, and they want someone that's TV ready, you know, in the paranormal community. There's not a lot of people that are young ready. With that being, it was hard. It was a hard process trying to find. And you know, we actually have the cast, and you know, I'll keep you guys filled in, and hopefully I can come back and bring in, you know, dates of when the release would be.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
Do you
guys know what network you guys are on, or you're just like in the beginning, like you just got
cast? No. Yeah, we're not trying to pitch a show or anything. You know, lucky, you know, the same producer who actually, you know, created From Beyond, he was actually asked to come back and actually, you know, produce and direct, you know, this new show with all Spanish for the same network. It was actually under NBC Universal, Mundos, MUN2. That's what the station is. It's kind of like an MTV3, kind of like a bilingual station.
Mm-hmm. You know, were you guys casting for this last year? Last year, but like, for some reason I remember like a year ago. Maybe it was like 6 months ago. I heard of some people like auditioning for a Spanish show.
Yeah, you know, and they were out there. Unfortunately, you know, this time around. They kept the casting, you know, they actually asked me, Romero, you know, they don't like this. You know, we presented our casting reel, and they liked the idea. They said, okay, let's go ahead and push it, find us two more people. Before they opened up to the public, you know, they asked me, and luckily I was actually able to get a good friend of mine. You know, I introduced him, and they loved him. You know, he fit the shoes perfect. There's, you know, I've heard out there, you know, different casting calls or whatnot. So the show, you know, it doesn't have to be pitched. You know, things are looking very, very good right now. Like I said, I mean, I could actually say, I'll come back on your show and plug in the show and share some evidence and stories and stuff like that.
Nice. When you come back,
yeah.
We want you to bring some of your EVPs so we can play them. I can listen to
them. Yeah, I sent you guys some. Unfortunately, I don't know if you guys have the ability to play. You know, they're all on. I sent one that was on SoundCloud and a couple of ITC clips that are on YouTube. I don't know if you guys could share those.
I ran out of time to try to convert them over to get them up on the board.
Even on the chat room, I don't know if they're, you know, I'm not in front of a computer right now, but in the chat room, you guys can even share, you know, those clips on there and have people check them out.
Definitely.
The stuff that, you know, we captured and, you know, and ITC Spirit Box was our gold, you know, for the show. That's why we captured, you know, great evidence, you know, from being locations where there was a dog. I would ask, what's the name of the dog, and get a response. Even to a restaurant owner, you know, in LA, that his, you know, he had lost his son. His son actually came through.
Wow.
It was very about that. It was really awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, in doing an all Spanish paranormal show, you know, with the Latino community, they're very spiritual people to begin with, and a lot of them are superstitious and whatnot. So that, yeah, like you said, the market, wow, you're going to appeal to a lot of people out there.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, and it's been my dream, you know, especially even if, you know, the show, you know, however long it lasts, I'm focused on my documentary, you know, and it's funny because it's kind of a similar idea that how Zach and Ghost Adventure Crew, they started with a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all, you know, luckily they all went to film school, so they know how to hold a camera, you know, audio, all that good stuff. So, you know, my younger brother actually just finished film school, so, you know, I have him editing all my videos and stuff like that. And I actually want to be one of the first to actually sit down and present evidence of locations that have been visited by other teams that claim to be investigators, but don't have the awareness or the knowledge, and, you know, kind of pave the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had mentioned earlier about, you know, how you can ask a question in Spanish and you'll get it in English. And, you know, I had some friends of mine that went over to Scotland and Ireland and investigated different places, including the Edinburgh Vaults, that's highly haunted over there. And you would think in those countries, you know, because they have different languages and you know, old, back in the day, way before the United States was even here, you would think you would get responses in their native languages and whatnot. But no, everything was in English, you know. And I've asked that to a lot of investigators, and it's weird how that happens, you know. It's like over there, they'll respond however you understand it, you know.
Right. Exactly. You know, and like I said, I mean, that's not always the case. You know, I remember, you know, I was in Cancun with my family, and I actually had my recorder because I was just in case, I come across a case or whatnot. I'm going to go and conduct an EVP session. So, you know, we were out, you know, we were out on the bus, and they took us to, you know, where the pyramids and the ruins were at in Chichen Itza. And I had my recorder on. We were the last group to leave, and this was around 6 o'clock. As everybody, you know, went back to the van, the bus and whatnot, I stayed behind with the recorder. And I was shocked when I came back to my hotel and played back, you know, those 5 minutes that I recorded. And you can actually hear cheering and people chanting. And it's funny because this is where they used to play kind of like this basketball game, would hit with their elbows through a hoop. And they would sit around kind of like the Colosseum in Rome. You know, whatever happened, they would compete and they would cheer. And it's funny because you hear voices and it's cheering. They pick up some other responses that were, how could I say, you know, it was a native tongue, of course, you know, different dialects in Mexico. There's so many dialects. I actually had somebody that actually speaks that dialect translated for me. And he was just amazed. He said, Romero, they're responding to your question. And I was asking what day it was, and they started talking about August. This, and responses, you know, having to do with the time. And hello?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hello? Oh, I thought I lost you guys. Yeah, so they were responding, you know, talking about the weather, you know, the time. It was amazing. It was awesome to hear, you know, something that I did not understand be translated.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've
crazy.
We've gotten
some responses.
There's a clip I sent
you guys to it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
There's a clip I sent you guys that's at Linda Vista. I actually turned on two different, you know, spirit boxes. And it's funny because, you know, they were both scanning. One of them dies out, and And it's funny because you can still hear the scanning, but there's a song being played. And you can, if you guys watch, listen to the video, you hear the scanning of the stations, and the song is just being played. One device just dies out, and it's as if that song jumped from that device to the next device. And that's when we capture a response, and it says, Spirit Box died.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yes, I send you guys the links. You guys should check them out.
Yeah. Kevin has some cool stuff with his ghost box. Kevin, do you want to tell him about what you did with yours?
I'm sorry?
With the quarters and stuff? In the year?
Oh, yeah, I talked about that. About tossing the coin up. Yeah, I talked about that earlier.
Oh, okay. Just making sure, because that's always a good story to use.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even the one with Martin, how you mentioned, you guys did that location experiment. You know, I've actually tried it, and it's amazingly it worked. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if Martin told you this. Well, the investigation we did where I told you earlier about Martin's voice coming through the box, also, later in the night, I was doing a K2 session and was live on the radio, and Martin, for some reason or another, just decided to turn on his EMF meter, his mail meter over there at his house. And, of course, he's in Dallas, and I'm in Arkansas, and I was trying to communicate because I felt something in the room. The energy kind of shifted, and you can kind of feel it shift. So I knew something had walked in, so I was like, hey, come over to this K2 meter and let me know that you're in the room because I can feel you. Light it up. And when I said that, his meter went off at his house. So I don't know how that was, but, yeah, we got a response, but it was hundreds of miles away in someone else's home.
It happens.
Yeah. It's crazy how those things work, you know, and I've always wanted to try to do, well, it's kind of like what Zach and them did one time where they linked up Bobby Mackey's and the Washoe Club while they were over in California and at another location, and they had linked them all up on the computer and was trying to
go back and do it.
Yeah.
They're at the Winchester Mystery House, right.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that, but do it with three different locations, with three different boxes, and link them up and see if we can get spirits from different locations to come through. I think that would be an interesting thing to try.
Yeah, I mean, do it, you know, document it, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, nothing's original, you know what I mean, and that's how I do it, you know, when I have an idea, whether, like you said, it's on the fly, you know, I'll conduct and try to document it, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and say, I did that first, you know, who cares who did it first, who did it last, you know, the point is, you know, this is about research and trying different experiments to actually show and document existence of the afterlife for a while.
Yeah, see, I shut down everything. I'm kind of taking a sabbatical from the paranormal because the drama got so bad. And I had to kind of take a break from it to kind of recharge myself, you know, and the whole reason I did it and the love for it, and kind of remove myself from the field and kind of be able to do things on my own and not be a founder of a group and have to worry about umpteen million personalities. And but before all that, I was doing experiments because I kept telling our team, and they agreed, why do we need to be just like every other paranormal team? Walk in, document EVPs, the whole nine yards, and then leave. I said, we need to really start trying to figure some things out. And figure some things out in real experiments and then have those experiments written down and pass them out to other teams and say, hey, we tried this, see what you can get, you know, so we can compare our results. That's how you further the field. That's how you compare notes. You try to start really finding answers about different things that's going on instead of just this turf war type thing or, you know, my team's better than yours or I'm trying to get a TV show. It wasn't all about that. Like you said, you know, if I get something, I'm going to say, hey, dude, I did this experiment. Why don't you try it and see what you get?
Exactly.
Because, you know, I'm not going to go, there's a lot of people out there that sit on good ideas because they want to be the first to do it or capture the best evidence so that they can do that whole look at me, look at me.
Yeah. You know, it's out there, like I said, I mean, one man TVP, you know, is another man's savior. You know what I mean? And I mean, I know there's teams out there that have it, and I came across a cool group, and it's real-time spirit communications with the use of ghost box. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, I came across certain individuals that are in the same field that actually, you know, do focus on ITC, and it's amazing. It's amazing to share stuff like that and speak to individuals that are doing the same things out there. You know, even like Martin. Martin was one of them. How we began talking, and he's still a good friend of mine on Facebook, on Instagram, and it was because of ITC. You know, and I remember one of the first talks we had, he mentioned that experiment that you guys conduct on the location, and it's funny how I knew that story, you know, before you even shared that with me.
Yeah, Martin, for a good 2 years, would turn his ghost box on every day and conduct a little session at his house. But, you know, that's the difference between people in the field, like Jody talked about earlier, that, you know, are the socialites and go out and go to events and party it up and do this and do that. And then there's other people that are actually doing the real research and documenting. And just like Jody said, you know, she sat on all her stuff that she got it put together in a great presentation, and now she's putting it out there so people can really see what the hell she's doing.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, Linda Vista, I filmed it 3 years ago, and, you know, I made up a movie, and something got messed up in it, so I just kind of put it on hold, but I actually just gave all the footage to somebody because they want to recut it and, like, add more of the drama to it because there was a lot of drama, and so I'm actually letting somebody recut it, and I'm going to release that when it's done. So
what is this based on? Or what is this? It's just that?
At all the locations that I go to. So right now I have Edinburgh Manor, I have Farrar School, Mineral Spring, and they're all on my website, jodyparks.com, for sale. And then I've got three more locations that, you know, I just need to, like, fluff up, have somebody go through them. I send them off to somebody, they fluff them and add some shit to it, take some stuff out, and then they put it up for sale for me. Somebody on my team. So we work together. We're a tag team. And it's nice. You know, her and I work really well together, and we've accomplished a lot. But, you know, I don't really see that from a lot of other people in the paranormal field, you know. So when you get your documentary ready, let me know, because I found a really good place that it's really easy to upload and get your movie or your documentary out there for sale. Or are you planning on going the route of, like, entering it into film festivals and stuff like that?
You know, what I have focused, you know, like I said, I'm more focused on going in and doing what hasn't been done yet and capturing, you know, evidence, certain locations out there. And kind of like how, you know, just, you know, like I just mentioned, my brother just finished film school, so I mean, he's amazing at what he does. So he edits, cuts, and does everything for me. You know, just having this documentary, you know, putting it out there, and you know, owning my own rights, my distribution, and see where that lands me, you know.
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, you're doing something with what you love. And, you know, whether it does well or not, it really doesn't matter. It's more so about following through and finishing what you start and being what you say you are, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah,
you don't need a TV show to do that. You don't need a TV show to do that. You don't need a network to get your
right.
voice and your opinions or your thing out there. You just do
right,
it.
Right, right. You know, and it was funny because even you know, on the show itself, a lot of people would ask me, you know, what happened to the show? You just come back. And it was just one season. Unfortunately, you know, the programming changed to all Spanish on that channel. You know, so we weren't, you know, we didn't come back. The show did phenomenal. Even how the producer says, you know, why mess with the good thing and let's leave it as is. And, you know, I know the great job I did. I was asked to come back and star in this new show. And I'm ready. I'm ready for it. You know, it kind of took, you know, some time off and, you know, brainstormed, put together a plan of attack and came back, you know, better than ever.
Yeah, and see, you're doing something that you're trying to do some groundbreaking things in what you're doing. And that's the same thing I like to always talk about Judy as well, because she takes, you know, you're doing, you know, Spanish and, you know.
Start that sentence over. You were a little messed up there. It was a little crazy.
I'm sorry. What I was saying was, it's groundbreaking. You're trying to do some groundbreaking things and also reach out to Latinos. And what Jody does is her team that she takes in is all women and tries to do things, you know, a little bit different than other teams out there. And it's an all-women group and do things for, you know, women out there.
Yeah, and people are pretty intimidated by it. They don't like change. They don't like people just stepping out of that box. And what they need to realize is there's not a box, you know?
Right.
There's not a box. And, you know, it's those people who think outside the box that people look at and say, that motherfucker's crazy. Those people are the ones that have a bigger chance of discovering something and having a breakthrough because they have the balls to do it and say, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you think. I'm going to try it because what the fuck? Why not? You know? You have to be willing. If we're going to call ourselves investigators, we have to be prepared to, you know, try different things. And, you know, sometimes I think, like, you know, we need to go back to the basics and think about what, you know, what people used to do, the tools that they used to have. What if in 20 years we discover that the K2 meter is full of shit? Let's say. Look at all the people who were stuck on that K2 meter, you know? They were convinced that this was it, and it just really wasn't. What if?
Hey, Jody, is Ramiro still online? You still there? I think we lost him.
Uh-oh. But, yeah, we'll see if he comes back.
Yeah, my internet went down, so I don't have any control over anything, the board or nothing.
Okay,
so I can't.
I got it. I got somebody on hold, but I think it's just a listener.
Is the area code 714?
Yes.
That's him.
Okay, I'm doing.
You back?
Ha ha! I'm here.
Yay!
Perfect.
You know, you kind of sound like a little bit.
I'm actually calling you from a landline.
What's that?
I was actually calling you from a landline, and it just I don't know. It said goodbye. And I was like, oh, I guess that was it. They didn't like what it says.
Do you know Jason Musgrove?
I've heard of him.
You kind of sound like him on the phone.
I've never spoken to him. I know who he is, though.
Yeah, you kind of sound like him. Kind of eerie.
Yeah, you missed our little spiel. What I was saying before we lost you was, you know, you're trying to do some groundbreaking things and reach Latinos and all that with your new show. And Jody kind of does the same thing too, but she takes in our all-girl group into a location and, you know, tries to do things a little bit different and, you know, reach out to a lot of women out there.
Yeah, of course. You know, having a woman, you know, in a team helps out a lot. You know, even bringing a female to a location changes reactions, you know, whether it's a prison, whether it's, you know, a hospital, you know, because, you know, they have that, you know, females are comfortable with females. Sometimes, you know, it could go good, sometimes it could go bad. And what I mean by the bad is, you know, females tend to have, that attitude and where they actually go at it, you know, a cat fight, if I may say. And there's been times where females have had negative encounters at a location when we're trying to have them using them as trigger objects or as bait, if I could say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I like to tie my women
up. I believe, and it's funny because you opened up my perspective as well and something new, and I'd never really thought about that. But I can't just sit there as well and say, well, fuck everybody, fuck this doctor that conducted it and killed people. Because there's entities out there that have nothing to do with it, you know, that, you know, whether it was a mistake or they're still stuck, you know, they're still there. So, you know, I kind of go in there, you know, with respect as my priority. But then again, I'm not going to go in there and respect negative entities or malicious attempts to hurt us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm not going to kneel down before them. I'm not going to let them scare me. You know, like, when you tell people you're a ghost hunter, don't you come across those people that are just, like, freaked out about what you're doing?
Yeah, it's funny because we would go to, with a network that would send us to a lot of red carpet events, you know, and, you know, you're there at a party afterwards. And, you know, of course, you know, women, you know, the females there, they would see us on the red carpet, so they would approach us. And I would tell them what I did, and a lot of the times it just wouldn't work to my advantage because they would just walk away.
And you're like, you know, yeah, this motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah, some of them would even say, well, I'm, you know, I've always been interested in this. Cool, it's around, have a drink and chat. And here I go again, being, you know, honest. Do they follow you home? Yes, they do. And I've noticed they would get up and leave. And, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to sit there and lie, you know what I mean, say they're not going to follow me. I just, you know, nowadays when people ask what I do.
Paranormal is nothing to fear. It really isn't. Of course, there are those really bad cases, but that's because people just don't want to understand that they're there. They're not, you know, certain ones, they're just not trying to hurt you. They're messing with you. They're like saying, hey, I'm here, you know.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, it might be a scary situation, but it's like work through it and, you know, either come to terms with it or get out of the location, you know.
Right. Yeah, and there's some dark stuff, you know, especially like with Latinos. You know, there's people that practice Santeria, witchcraft, or whatnot, and you know, a lot of there's many you know, individuals out there that this has been a practice, has been passed down from generation to generation. So it's kind of like their religious, you know, background, their denomination, you know. And I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say what you're doing is bad, because I mean, who am I to say, you know?
Yeah.
So I do. know, when I do go to homes and I see certain objects and certain things, you know, it's a red flag. I'm like, okay, well, how do you expect me to help when you're still practicing this? You know, you're the one that's conjuring all this shit to your house.
Right. Have you ever done done like a thorough investigation where you have, like, actually gotten these types of people and gotten them to do, like, a ritual for you and show you exactly what it is that they do and film it so that, like, you know, for other people to be able to research them and what they're doing and then how to deal with it, you know? That might be cool.
You know? Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I started recently after this, you know, during the whole in between of the shows, you know, I started working for Be Real TV, and Be Real is from Cypress Hill. He's a rap artist. So we would go to hip-hop shows, and I would do interviews with them or whatnot. And it's funny because a lot of those artists are my favorite artists, and there are certain songs that tap into the paranormal. They talk about the afterlife. And I've actually sat down with them and said, hey, you know, I'm a ghost hunter. You know, the stuff you mentioned on this song is actually the shit that I actually encounter, you know, and they look at me like, oh, wow, some of them do have the knowledge, you know, and, you know, the final story I make was I had an individual bring up Chip Coffee, Psychic Kids, how they're out there developing these kids and explaining to them that their gift is a gift and not really all in their head and, you know, teaching them how to be in tune with and how to use their abilities.
Right.
You know, I wish I had that when I was a kid. You know, I think it would be different, but, you know.
My son has been seeing since he was like 3. And I have a daughter that's been kind of doing weird things since she was about 3. She's 5 now. And she does weird things. I'm not going to lie. I've even encountered them with her teacher. Like, she ran up to a teacher about a month and a half ago and asked the teacher if this other teacher was her boyfriend. She was, like, jumping up and down, up and down, up and down, and the lady was, like, looking at me like she was freaked out at what she just said, and I just said, well, is he?
It probably was true.
It was true. She confirmed to me. She said, Judy, nobody knows. And I said, well, I won't tell anybody. I'm sorry if she did that to you. So, like, you know, here's my daughter. She's reading this woman.
Yeah.
And she tells me things about when I was a little girl. Remember when, and she'll tell me a story about when I was a kid, and I'm like, how do you know that? And she's like, I just know.
Right.
And, like, you know, she talks about my grandma, Rose, all the time, that died about a year after she died. And she'll tell me stories about my grandma Rose. And then she'll tell kids at school about the shadow man in her bedroom. She told me the story just last week about how she was in a dream and she woke up out of the dream and there was somebody standing over her bed, like, opening and closing its mouth.
Wow.
And then it just disappeared. And she did.
Wow.
She came in my room crying. And she said, my dream was so bad, I cannot tell you right now. And I said, okay. And she got in bed with me. And then when she came home from school, I actually videotaped her telling me all about it. And it's so creepy, I don't even want to put it out online because, you know, it's just like, whoa. You know, a 5-year-old in detail telling you about the dream and coming out of the dream.
Yeah.
And it's a little too personal for a 5-year-old to put that out. But, it's weird having kids that do that. But, you know, I try to just teach them, like, you know, I tell my daughter, like, hey, if that shadow man just comes back, like, just ask him, what do you want? You know what I mean? Just talk to him. Just say, what do you want? I'm like, he's not mean to you. He just shows up. So ask him what he wants. You know? So.
I'm going back to what you know, the question you had asked me, you know, have I documented certain things? But yeah, you know, I actually had the ability to actually sit down with this individual and, you know, he said, hey, well, I'm going to be doing transfiguration. And where you know, they channel up from spirit, and, you know, facial attributes change as the spirit enters the body. And it's funny because, you know, he said, I'm allowing you to film this. And, you know, of course, I'm not going to release it. I've actually had the, you know, the opportunity to share it with them. And this individual just doesn't remember anything after he finishes his session. And it's amazing to see what we capture, you know, from his hands twitching, from his face warping, eyebrows getting thicker, face getting longer, voice changing to a female. You know, and it's funny because it's out there, you know, and I was actually able to, you know, document it. I hope one day, you know, with his okay, I'll be able to actually release and share, you know, what we captured during this session or whatnot.
You know, I actually, you know, Scarefest, the event in Kentucky. Have you heard of Scarefest?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so I was just there last month or whatever, whenever it was, a couple weeks ago. And a friend of mine, I was sitting down having a beer with him, and he was telling me that he can do that. And he's been, like, hoping to find somebody that will, like, take him serious and, like, film him doing it.
Yeah, no, this was trippy at first. I mean, because I believe this person is an individual, and it was funny because he actually had a guide, you know, someone else that's there. And he's like, I will not do transfiguration without my friend being there because she's the one that brings me back. You know, and it took some time for us to get this person, individual, to snap back to reality, you know.
Gazing. It's probably like gazing where when you gaze, you get in a trance, you can get stuck in that trance.
Exactly. Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then was I honored to be there? Yeah, of course. Did I see that? Yes, I sat down through a session where they do table tipping. And trust me, this wasn't a small table. It was an oak. It was a heavy table. And for me to see that table just, you know, lift. And nobody was lifting it, you know?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I've done that as well. I had a buddy of mine, Richard.
Contreras?
He's a good friend of mine. I was with Contreras. I had to call him into a really bad demonic case. And him and his brother came, and he did his fire ritual. And I'd never seen it in person. And I actually see the entity appear in the fire. Was just crazy, you know. And he had also did the, and I know this is a Latino thing, before he performed the ceremony, he did the glass of water, took an egg and kind of rubbed it around the child's body and cracked it and put it in that water, and you see it start cooking. It was hard to notify. And then, of course, after he did his ceremony, he did the same thing again, and it didn't solidify all of us, so he knew that he had cleared it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've witnessed some stuff from him. He does some great work for the paranormal and trying to help people.
Yeah. I'm actually a good friend of Rich. I mean, and so I've seen his videos too, and they're impressive. You know, it's something different. Like how Jody says, you know, doing something different. You know, think outside the box. You know, people want a lot of a little. Yeah, I'm the type of person, I just want a little of a lot. So as long as I keep getting a lot of, you know, of these responses that I call, you know, evidence and or research, you know, I'm happy. I'm a happy camper. You know, I'm not. I feel I'm not going out there wasting my time, and you know, and it's. It hasn't happened yet, knock on wood, you know, that where I go location and leave empty-handed. I know there's some cases that people do have mental issues or whatnot. And, I mean, you're able, you know, to flag those out immediately before we investigate. You know, and it sucks. A lot of the times I investigate, I come home with either a personal experience and, you know, and evidence.
Yeah. We're down to the last part of the show. So you got any websites or anything you want to throw out there for people to check you out?
Yeah, you guys can, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, most of the clips that I mentioned, you know, I send you guys most of those clips. I will be putting them on our Facebook page. You guys can find us at the Orange County Paranormal Project or orangecountyparanormal.com. And you like our page. We have some of the evidence there, but on the Facebook, the Orange County Paranormal Project, I will, you know, put a couple of those links up there, and, you know, if you guys want to like our page, we'll do the same and add some more teams, and this is what it's all about, you know, working with different teams and sharing the research.
Yeah, and I'll be taking those links and putting them on Terrify Radio's fan page so people can see them out there.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, you know, and I hope to one day, you know, in the community at first I was okay, well, you know, I was still a little, how can I say, I was more reserved, and, you know, I feel that, you know, there's a lot of these paracons that happen, you know, throughout the nation, and I'm like, well, I actually want to start attending these and building, you know, friendships and relationships, you know, with different teams out there, and, you know, hope to meet you guys one day in person and maybe investigate some locations.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'll get with you later, but I definitely want you to come on the other show that I help host with Martin and get you on there, because I'm sure Martin would love to talk to you again.
Oh, yeah, we had a blast. I remember the time, you know, he had me on as a featured guest. It was awesome. You know, I had a great time.
Yeah. Sweet.
Thank you so much for coming on. It was so great to meet you.
And
I really wish you the best with all your projects. Like, go and kick ass.
Yeah,
no, put your stank on it. Put it hard.
Yeah, you know, I try to do what I do best, and, you know, this is something that I enjoy, and, you know, it's a hobby, and you know, lucky I was able to get some exposure on it. You know, it's not so much about the fame or see myself on billboards. You know, it's just at the end of the day, is go home and the reality of it, the homeowners, you know, got validation. I was actually able to share evidence to the audience, you know, of what actually exists and what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I'll make sure
so
thanks to you guys for having me, and I'll make sure I'll add you guys on my Facebook, and hopefully we can be in contact and share some research in the near future.
Yeah, and definitely we want to have you back on after your show, TV show, gets going.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll definitely, you know, I'm friends with you on my Facebook, so I'll definitely I'll shoot out, you know, an email to all the contacts, and it'll be a pleasure of mine to come back.
All right. Well, you have
you guys. All right, you guys.
You
have a safe one.
All right, good night.
Bye-bye.
All right. See, Jody, I came through.
Yeah, he was awesome. Very, very nice. I liked him a lot. And, you know, I can't wait for his stuff to get on a network and get out there and have him back on and tell us about the excitement. It'd be awesome.
Well, it's always cool to talk to people that it's not necessarily about a guest coming on that's been on national television, this, that, and other. It's about the people that actually are doing the work and are actually busting their ass in this field. Those are the ones that deserve to be interviewed on a radio show.
Yeah.
You know, and he's kind of like you. He's trying to open doors and do things that other people are not accustomed to. So it was really cool. I was blessed the fact that he saw my post that my guest had canceled, and he hit me up, and I'm so glad he got to come on.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, I mean, he was awesome. I liked him a lot.
And let's see. Quick plugs, Full Spectrum Radio on tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central. Thursday is our newest addition to the family, Project Paranormal, 8 o'clock. And sometime in the future, we'll have a Friday show
once I get it all developed, I have a host. I'm trying to find a co-host to help her out.
Cool.
So, point us out, Jerry. Huh?
I said maybe somebody listening will hear that and
get
that out.
Sure, contact me, you know, and hit me up.
You're taking applications.
That's right, that's right. And that's pretty much it. So tune in again next week, same time, same place, and Jody's going to play us out of here.
All right, we need to get new music.
I've been uploading one song at a time, it seems like.
I mean, I just don't even know what to pick, but
there's a lot of stuff on here.
We're going to go with this, okay? Because why not?
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe.